Shalom and welcome to Parsha 60 Seconds. Today's portion is from Exodus 27:20 through
Welcome everybody, Shabbat Shalom. Wow, this is just such a joyous occasion with everybody. It's like some people have been away for months because of border restrictions, and so we're back in, and just it's really good to be with you all. We're doing Parasha, it's Parasha number 20, Tetzaveh, you are to order. So good news all around, and we can sing Shabbat Shalom. By the way, Sean's doing the drush and got some videos and all of that sort of thing that he's so good at putting together. So I look forward to that. And thank you very much for being with us. Welcome everybody. Shabbat Shalom. Let's go with some music and I think we'll sing Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, Shabbat. Shabbat, Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, Shabbat. Shabbat, Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael.
Shiru Adonai, Shir Hadash.
Oshiru Ladonai Kol Ha'ari Shiru Ladonai Baruch Shemo Bethru Meyom Leyom Yeshuato Shiru Ladonai Shir Chadash Shiru Ladonai Baruch Shemo Bethru Meyom Leyom Yeshuato Shiru Ladonai Shir Chadash Shiru Ladonai Shir Chadash Shiru Ladonai Shir Chadash
Jacob, let us walk in the light. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light. Walk in the light of the Lord. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light. Walk in the light of the Lord. The haughty man is humbled, the lofty one brought low, for the Lord alone will be exalted in that day, when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Yeshua is the Lord, unto the glory of God. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light. Walk in the light of the Lord. The pride of man is humbled, arrogance abased, for the Lord alone will be exalted in that day, when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Yeshua is the Lord, unto the glory of God. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light. Walk in the light, walk in the light. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light. Walk in the light of the Lord.
We're gonna walk.
Walk in the light.
Walk in the light.
We're gonna walk, walk, walk. Walk in the light.
God.
Ha-Kah-Eh, Adonai Eloheha, Bechol Levavcha, Ubechol Nafshecha, Ubechol Mechudecha, Ve'ahakah Adonai Eloheha, Bechol Levavcha, Ubechol Nafshecha, Ubechol Mechudecha. Your soul and with all of your mind, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, and upon these two commandments and the whole law, love your neighbor, love your God. They are Ha-Kah, they are Ha-Kah, Adonai Eloheha, Bechol Levavcha, Ubechol Nafshecha, Ubechol Me'udecha, they are Ha-Kah, Adonai Eloheha, Bechol Levavcha, Ubechol Nafshecha, Ubechol Me'udecha.
Mediator between Yehovah and humanity.
You shoot. You've got to lose connection somewhere.
For Yehovah, right?
Yeah.
For Yehovah is one, and there is one mediator between Yehovah and humanity. The Messiah himself human, who gave himself as a ransom on behalf of us all, thus providing testimony to Yehovah's purpose at just the right time. So let us declare our unity in him by singing the Shema.
Shema Israel, Yehovah Eloheinu, Yehovah Echad. Baruch Shem Kadosh.
Yehovah our Elohim, Yehovah is one. Blessed be his name. His glorious kingdom is forever and ever. Amen. Ve'ahavta et Yehovah Elohecha, b'kol levavcha uv'kol nafshecha uv'kol me'odecha.
And you shall love Yehovah your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might.
And Yeshua said, love your neighbor as yourself. All the Torah and the prophets are dependent on these two mitzvot. Yehovah hu Yeshua HaMashiach,
Yeshua the Messiah, he is Lord.
Amen. Please be seated. Well, welcome everyone. Welcome to all those day with all the talking during the singing that we couldn't hear music because no one had seen each other for 5 weeks, and it was just such a glorious time of getting together and saying hello and being with each other again that I think the lips and the tongues went above all the music. But to be here, I can't say I enjoy it. Everybody will get through it. Also, stream. Kathy in California, Minnesota, Joshua in South Carolina. Okay. Pardon? I don't know, because I could hear it going through. Can you hear this going through? Okay, we'll try again. What's the matter? Well, it's too far away, and I've got to look this way. I'm out of my comfort zone. Help! Okay, we'll try again. Welcome to Kathy in California, to Minister Ali Shaver in Trinidad, Tobago, to Brenda and Kevin in Pilgrim, Kentucky, to Victoria in Qatar, Kathleen in Kentucky, also to Michael, Melinda and Michael Jr. in Florida. Welcome to Heather in Perth. In South Australia, we've got Annette, Chris, Michael, Diana and family, Jan, Betty and Stephen in Adelaide. Welcome to Katrina in Port Pirie, to Lucia in Victoria, to Ivan and Lucas in Victoria, to Lyndon, Leah and family in Bega, to Jan in Sydney, Kerry and David in Tamworth, to Sue in Maxville, Deborah in Casino. In Queensland, we've got Roseanne, Bonnie and Rafia, Emma in Gladstone, Stacey in Gatton, Judith in Ipswich, Joanna at Sandstone Point, Hanani in Sandor and Fernvale, Cheryl and Connell from Maidenwell near Bunya Mountains, to Vivian, Dayan and Daniel at Scarborough, Melody in Sandgate, Joe, Lonnie, Yola, Yamina and Ella at Kalanga, Carol and Nick in Brisbane, Harry in Brisbane, Philip in Brisbane, Haley in Brisbane, Ingrid in Brisbane, Lucia, Isabel, Angie and Jacob in Brisbane, Jeremy in Brisbane, Richard on Russell Island, Don Canubia, Kelly and Bean Lee, Wendy and Peter in Logan, Shana and Michaela in Jimboomba, to John and Mount, on Mount Tambourine, to Tracy from Upper Coomera, to Naomi in Oxenford, Tammy at Oxenford, Irene at Talai, Melissa at Surface Paradise, Jeff at Surface Paradise, Mary Ann Faye, Erica, Carol and Lisa Joy Raywin here on the Gold Coast. Well, welcome to each and every one of you. And can we have the children out now, please, to bless them? Wonderful to have so many children here today. Take the children out. We've got nobody left in the room, hardly. Awesome. Our next generation. Abba Father, we just thank you and praise you for our children. We pray that you'll make the boys like Ephraim and Manasseh, that you'll give them the dew from heaven, the richness of this earth and everything they need in abundance. We lift up the girls here, Abba, and pray that you'll make them like Sarah, Rivka, Raquel and Leah, that they'll be blessed in every area of their lives. I'll delight on your Torah and meditate on it day and night. However, we pray that each and every one of these children become like trees planted by streams. They'll bear their fruit in its season, their leaves will never wither, and everything they do will lead to success. Let us pray together. Heavenly Abba, preserve these children for their fathers and their mothers. May they be led into a life of obedience and faith through the Kedavah HaShalakim. Blessed are you, Yad of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, who watches over these precious children of your servants. We ask this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. The young people are meeting in the room across the... I think Rachel knows, doesn't she? Yeah. Straight across. Now, there'll be no family mishpacha dinner this month due to unforeseen circumstances, but we will let you know when that will start up again. The men's monthly dinner this week, well, a couple turned up, but it did prove to be successful in the fact that Malachi was able to use his vaccine control group certification to go into the Thai restaurant, and it was accepted. So for those who haven't got their control group certification, we'll make sure that you've got it before you leave here today, and that'll allow you to get into a lot of places, as other members of our congregation have got into restaurants, doctor's offices and all sorts of things with it at this stage. So don't be afraid to use it. Now this Thursday there will be a ladies' morning tea, and as not everyone has their control group certification, we'll still be holding it at Malachi in my place at 10:30 a.m. this Thursday. I will provide all the food. All you have to do is bring yourselves and a smile. And if you haven't got a smile, we'll pray for you when you get there. So please, if you can let me know who will be coming this Thursday, would be great. I think that is all. We haven't heard from Myanmar this week. We heard last week when they brought all the food. Now in the newsletter, we've just got some update on what is happening throughout the world. The UK government has reported that the children are 52 times more likely to suffer following a COVID shot, which is why proof should not be we should not be vaccinating our children. The USA military cancer rate has more than tripled, which is depleting the number of military in the USA. It's like warfare, because so many have been sacked because they haven't taken it, and those that have, it's tripled the number of cancer rates without the myocarditis and pericarditis rates and everything else that's increased. So with war, they're saying, being imminent, is what they're trying to cause to happen over there between Russia and Ukraine, and then bring USA into it. The USA's military is completely depleted. As a side issue, I also read in the news report this morning that 50 million Pfizer shots had been recalled because of people testing positive for AIDS after the third shot. So if you can hold off that shot, it would be great. I also heard that the Prime Minister of Australia this week, that overseas flights will be starting up, and they will only require a two-shot entry. 2 days later, ATAGI, that is the Australian Technical Advisory Group on Immunisation, then mandated a 3 shots for Australians to be up to date. So if you come from overseas as a student, or to stay here as a student, or to come on a holiday, you only need 2 shots. But if you're an Australian citizen, you'll need 3, which is doesn't make sense to me. I don't know how this will play out with the residents, because there can't be 2 rules. There can't be a rule for overseas people and a rule for residents. It sounds days. One rule for me and another one for thee. And that's the way they're running our country. Because politicians are not mandated to have any vaccines. They are exempt. And even though you've seen them getting shots on TV, they really haven't had the shot. It's only a false way of doing it to make it look as if they're getting the shot. So that's the latest. If you haven't had that third shot, please don't. I would not like you to be suffering from AIDS. And I know my own children have had the third shot, but the point is that their defence forts, nothing you can do about it. So let us pray for Yehovah's people. Abba Father, we thank you that Yehovah's ever oath, the Lord Yahweh of hosts, is all that we need in our life. As believers in Yeshua HaMashiach, we lift up our brothers and sisters to you this day, no matter where they might be in the diaspora or Eretz Israel. Abba, you faithfully preserved your people Israel through so many tribulations, whether it's from captivity in Egypt and to Babylon, right through to this very day, with what is being mandated. But Abba, whenever your people called on your name, you have delivered them. Violence has been perpetrated through terrorist attacks in the diaspora and in your promised land. And Abba, we cry out to you for your protection over all your people as these conflicts continue. Abba, we thank you that you remember your covenant with your people. We know from your word in Yekeskel that your people will live in the land which you promised your servant Yaakov, that they'll live there in complete security and safety. And we know, Abba Father, that this applies to the people that have been dispersed into other lands at this time. And we just claim your word for them today as well. Abba, we pray for your healing power on those suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, caused in any way by terror in which people live daily, especially those affected from many wars, and those from the diaspora that have gone into the Middle East over the year, past 20 years in those wars. We also pray, Abba Father, for the salvation of our brothers and sisters, no matter where they might be living in this world. Your word says that your people, that you want none to perish, and we know from your word in Yekeskel that you take no pleasure in the wicked person dying, but take pleasure in them turning from their wicked ways, humbling themselves, repenting of their sins, and making that 180-degree turn towards you and obedience to your will. Abba, we pray that you'll send Yerawaka Kodesh to have an encounter with them. This is the only way that you can heal them and bring peace to your promised land. Abba, we know that it is your plan for all of your promised land, from the Euphrates River to the Vadi of Egypt, to be restored. Your word says your people will live in the land you gave their ancestors, that you will be their Elohim and they will be your people. And we know, Abba, that it is your plan for all of your people, Israel, to be called to your promised land in your perfect timing. We pray against the agenda of mankind to cause people to go no matter where they earth. We pull down the strongholds of the enemy over your holy land, and we ask that you Hamas, Hezbollah, the Muslim Brotherhood, as well as other operatives. And we break the power of the evil one who continues to work at wiping Israel off and your people off the map. We also lift up Pastor John and his family of orphans through his ministry of Adonai Child Rehabilitation in Kalamo Salagin district of Myanmar. Abba, we thank you that Pastor John, his wife and family, and the orphans and the extended family that are with them are safe at this time. We pray that they will be able to continue to praise and worship you on Shabbat. And Abba, we pray for their continued protection, for their health, and that all their sustenance need to be met. We thank you, Abba, for the ability to bless them with food, and we pray, Abba Father, that they will use the food and the money wisely during these turbulent times. We know that it is, you know what their needs are, Abba, and especially the danger that they are living in. And we pray that you'll be with them and guide and direct them. You know their situation in their country at the moment. And we pray, Abba Father, as I have read this week, that more people, more Christians have died in a different district of Myanmar. 8 more people have been killed. We pray, Abba Father, that you will continue to protect the orphans and their family. And we please ask that you will just give them assurance that no weapon formed against them will prosper, and that that they know that you are in complete control. We ask this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Well, as Malachi said it in the beginning, we're reading from Parashah 20, Tetzaveh, you are to order. It's only a very short reading today. We're reading from Shemot, Exodus chapter 25, 27 to chapter 30, verse 10. And the prophets will be reading from Ezekiel chapter 43, verses 10 to 27. And the Ketuvah HaShelekim, the writings of the apostles, will be reading from Philippians 4, 10 to 20. So let us pray. Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu melech ha'olam, haheh bakra banu mekal ha'amin, v'natan lenu et torato. Baruch atah Yehovah natein ha'torah, b'shem Yeshua mashikenu ha'ola olam amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all people and given us the Torah. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen.
Parashah 20, Tetzaveh, you are to order, Shemot, 27:20 to 30:10. You are to order the people of Israel to bring you pure oil of pounded olives for the light, and to keep a lamp burning continually. Aaron and his sons are to put it in the tent of meeting, outside the curtain in front of the testimony, and keep it burning from evening until morning before Yehovah. This is to be a permanent regulation through all the generations of the people of Israel. You are to summon your brother Aaron and his sons to come from among the people of Israel to you, so that they can serve me as a Kohanim. Aaron and his sons, Nadav, Avihu, Eleazar, and Itamar. You are to make for your brother Aaron garments set apart for serving Elohim, expressing dignity and splendor. Speak to all the craftsmen to whom I have given the spirit of wisdom, and have them make Aaron's garments to set him apart for me, so that he can serve me in the office of Kohen. The garments they are to make are these: a breastplate, a ritual vest, a robe, a checkered tunic, a turban, and a sash. They are to make holy garments for your brother Aaron and his sons, so that he can serve me in the office of Kohen. They are to use gold, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen. They are to make the ritual vest of gold, of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and of finely woven linen, crafted by a skilled artisan. Attached to its front and back edges are to be 2 shoulder pieces that can be fastened together. Its decorated belt is to be of the same workmanship and materials, gold, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and finely woven linen. Take 2 onyx stones and engrave them on the names of the sons of Israel. 6 of their names are on one stone and the 6 remaining names on the other, in order of their birth. An engraver should engrave the names of the sons of Israel on the 2 stones as he would engrave a seal. Mount the stones in gold settings and put the 2 stones on the shoulder pieces of the vest as stones calling to mind the sons of Israel. Aaron is to carry their names before Yehovah on his shoulders as a reminder.
Make gold squares and 2 chains of pure gold, twisted like cords. Attach the cord like chains to the squares. Make a breastplate for judging. Have it crafted by a skilled artisan. Make it like the work of the ritual vest. Make it of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn. The finely woven linen, when folded double, it is to be square, and handspan by handspan. Put on it settings of stones, 4 rows of stones. The first row is to be a carnelian, a topaz, and an emerald. The second row is to be a green feldspar, a sapphire, and a diamond. The third row is an orange zircon, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row is a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They are to be mounted in their gold settings. The stones will correspond to the names of the 12 sons of Israel. They are to be engraved with the names as a seal, as a seal would be engraved, to represent the 12 tribes. On the breastplate, you are to make two pure gold chains twisted like cords. Also, for the breastplate, you are to make two gold rings and put the twisted gold chains in the two rings at the two ends of the breastplate. Attach the other two ends of the twisted chains to the front of the shoulder pieces of the ritual vest. Make two gold rings and put them on the two ends of the breastplate at its edge, on the side facing in toward the vest. Also make two gold rings and attach them low on the front part of the vest shoulder pieces, near the join, above the vest decorated belt. Then bind the breastplate by its rings to the rings of the vest with blue cord so that it can be on the vest decorated belt so that the breastplate won't swing loose from the vest. Aaron will carry the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate for judging over his heart. When he enters the holy place as a continual reminder before Yehovah, you are to put the Urim and the Thummim in the breastplate for judging. They will be over Aaron's heart when he goes into the presence of Yehovah. Thus, Aaron will always have the means for making decisions for the people of Israel over his heart when he is in the presence of Yehovah. You are to make the robe for the ritual vest entirely of blue. It is to have an opening for the head in the middle. Around the opening is to be a border woven like the neck of a coat of mail so that it won't tear. On its bottom hem, make pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet, and put them all the way around with gold bells between them all the way around. Gold bell, pomegranate, all the way around the hem of the robe. Aaron is to wear it when he ministers, and its sound will be heard whenever he enters the holy place before Yehovah, and when he leaves so that he won't die. You are to make an ornament of pure gold and engrave on it as on a seal set apart for Yehovah. Fasten it to a turban with a blue cord on the front of the turban, over Aharon's forehead, because Aharon bears the guilt for any errors committed by the people of Israel in consecrating their holy gifts. This ornament is always to be on his forehead, so that the gifts for Yehovah will be accepted by him. You are to weave the checkered tunic of fine linen, make a turban of fine linen, and make a belt the work of a weaver in collars. Likewise, for Aharon's sons, make tunics, sashes, and headgear, expressing dignity and splendor. With them, clothe your brother Aharon and his sons, then anoint them, inaugurate them, and consecrate them so that they will be able to serve in the office of Kohen. Also make for them linen shorts reaching from waist to thigh to cover their bare flesh. Aharon and his sons are to wear them when they go into the tent of meeting and when they approach the altar to minister in the holy place, so that they won't incur guilt and die. This is to be a perpetual regulation both for him and for his descendants.
Here is what you are to do to consecrate them for ministry to me in my in the office of Kohen. Take one young bull and two rams without defect, also matzah. Matzah cakes mixed with olive oil and matzah wafers spread out with oil, all made from fine wheat flour. Put them together in a basket and present them in the basket along with the bulls and the two rams. Bring Aharon and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Take the garments and put on Aharon the tunic, the robe for a ritual vest, the vest itself and the breastplate. Fasten the vest on him with its belt, put the turban on his head and attach the holy ornament to the turban. Then take the anointing oil and anoint him by pouring it on his head. Bring his sons, put the tunics on them, wrap sashes around them, Aharon and his sons. Put the headgear on their heads. The office Kohen is to be theirs by permanent regulation. Thus you will consecrate Aharon and his sons. Bring the young bull to the front of the tent of meeting. Aharon and his sons are to lay their hands on the bull's head, and you are to slaughter the bull in the presence of Yehovah at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Take some of the bull's blood and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger. Pour out all the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. Take all the fat that covers the inner organs, the covering of the liver and the two kidneys, but with their fat and offer them up in a smoke on the altar. Put the bull's flesh, skin, and dung you are to destroy by fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. Take one of the rams, Aharon, and his sons are to lay his hands on the ram's head, and you are to slaughter the ram. Take its blood, splash it on all sides of the altar, quarter the ram, wash the inner organs with the lowest parts of the legs, and then put them with the quarters and the head. Then offer up the whole ram in smoke on the altar. It is a burnt offering for Yehovah, a pleasing aroma, an offering made to Yehovah by fire.
Take the other ram. Aharon and his sons are to lay their hands on the ram's head, and you are to slaughter the ram. Take some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aharon's right ear, on the lobes of his sons' right ears, on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right feet. Take the rest of the blood and splash it on all sides of the altar. Then take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aharon and his clothing and on his sons and the clothing of his sons with him, so that he and his clothing will be consecrated, and with him his sons and his sons' clothing. Also take the fat from the ram, the fat tail, the fat that covers the inner organs, the two kidneys, the fat covering them on the right thigh, for it is a ram of consecration, along with one loaf of bread, one cake of oiled bread, and one wafer from the basket of matzah which is before Yehovah, and put it all in the hands of Aharon and his sons. They are to wave them as a wave offering in the presence of Yehovah. Then take them back and burn them up in smoke on the altar on top of the burnt offering to be a pleasing aroma before Yehovah. It is an offering made to Yehovah by fire. Take the breast of the ram for Aharon's consecration and wave it as a wave offering before Yehovah. It will be your share. Consecrate the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of any contribution that has been waved and raised up, whether from the ram of consecration or from anything else meant for Aharon or his sons. This will belong to Aharon and his sons as they share perpetually due from the people of Israel. It will be a contribution from the people of Israel, from their peace offerings, their contribution to Yehovah. The holy garments of Aharon will be used by his sons after him. They will be anointed and consecrated in them. The son who becomes the Kohen in his place, who comes into the tent of meeting to serve in the holy place, is to wear them for 7 days. Take the ram of consecration and boil its meat in a holy place. Aharon and his sons will eat the ram's meat and the bread in the basket at the entrance to the tent of meeting. They are to eat the things with which atonement was made for them, to inaugurate and consecrate them. No one else may eat this food because it is holy. If any of the meat for the consecration or any of the bread remains until morning, burn up what remains. It is not to be eaten because it is holy. Carry out all these things, all these orders I have given you concerning Aharon and his sons. You are to spend 7 days consecrating them. Each day will offer a young bull as a sin offering. Besides the other offerings of atonement, offer the sin offering on the altar, so your atonement for it. Then anoint it to consecrate it. 7 days you will make atonement on the altar and consecrate it. Thus the altar will be especially holy, and whatever touches the altar will become holy.
Now this is what you are to offer on the altar: 2 lambs a year old regularly every day. The one lamb you are to offer in the morning and the other lamb at dusk. With the one lamb offer 2 quarts of finely ground flour mixed with 1 quart of oil from pressed olives, along with 1 quart of wine as a drink offering. The other lamb you are to offer at dusk. Do with it as with the morning grain and drink offerings. It will be a pleasing aroma. An offering made to Yehovah by fire. Through all your generations, it is to be the regular burnt offering at the entrance of the tent of meeting before Yehovah. There is where I will meet with you to speak with you. Here I will meet with the people of Israel, and the place will be consecrated by my glory. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. Likewise, I will consecrate Aaron and his sons to serve me in the office of Kohen. Then I will live with the people of Israel and be their Elohim. They will know I am Yehovah their Elohim, who brought them out of the land of Egypt in order to live with them. I am Yehovah their Elohim.
You are to make an altar on which to burn incense. Make it of acacia wood. It is to be 18 inches square and 3 feet high. Its horns are to be made of one piece with it. Overlay it with pure gold, its top, all around its sides and its horns, and put around it a moulding of gold. Make 2 gold rings for it under its moulding at the 2 corners of both sides. This is where the carrying poles will go. Make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Place it in front of the curtain by the ark for the testimony, in front of the ark cover that is over the testimony, where I will meet with you. Aaron will burn fragrant incense on it as a pleasing aroma every morning. He is to burn it when he prepares the lamps.
Aaron is also to burn it when he lights the lamps at dusk. This is a regular burning of incense before Yehovah through all your generations. You are not to offer unauthorized incense on it, or a burnt offering, or a grain offering. You are not to pour a drink offering on it. Aaron is to make atonement on its horns once a year. With the blood of the sin offering of atonement, he is to make atonement for it once a year through all your generations. It is especially holy to Yehovah. Haftarah, Tetzavah, Yekeska El, 43:10-27. You, human being, describe this house to the house of Israel, so that they will be ashamed of their crimes, and let them measure accurately. If they become ashamed of all they have done, show them the elevation and plan of the house, its exits and entrances, all its details and decorations, and all its specifications, its design and its Torah. Draw it for them to see, so that they can observe the entire design with its specifications and carry them out. This is Torah for the house. The whole surrounding area on the mountaintop will be especially holy. This is Torah for the house. These are the measurements of the altar in cubits. The base, 1 cubit deep and 1 cubit wide, with the molding surrounding it at its rim about a handspan in width. The height of the altar is thus, from the base on the ground to the lower ledge, 3.5 feet, with the width 21 inches, from the lower ledge to the upper ledge, 7 feet, with the width again 21 inches. The hearth measures 7 feet, with 4 horns on top of the hearth. The hearth is a square 21 feet on each of its 4 sides. The ledge measures a square 24.5 feet on each of its 4 sides, the molding around it 10.5 inches, and its base 21 inches around. Its steps face east. He said to me, human being, Yehovah Elohim says, these are the regulations for the altar when the time comes to construct it. Offer burnt offerings on it and splash the blood against it. You are to give the Kohanim, who are Leviim, descended from Saduk, who approach to serve me, says Yehovah Elohim, a young bull as a sin offering. You are to take its blood and put it on the 4 horns of the altar, on the 4 corners of the ledge, and on the molding all the way around. This is how you will purify it and make atonement for it. You are also to take the bull, which is the sin offering, and have it burned up at the designated place of the house outside the sanctuary. On the 2nd day, you are to offer a male goat without defect as a sin offering, and they are to purify the altar as they purified it with the bull. When you have finished purifying it, you are to offer a young bull without defect and a ram from the flock without defect. You are to present them before Yehovah, and the Kohanim will throw salt on them and offer them as a burnt offering to Yehovah. Every day for 7 days, you are to prepare a goat as a sin offering. They are also to prepare a young bull and a ram from the flock without defect. For 7 days, they are to make atonement for the altar and cleanse it. In this way, they are to consecrate it. When these days are over, then, on the 8th day and afterwards, the Kohanim will present your burnt offerings on the altar and your peace offerings. I will accept you, says Yehovah Elohim.
Ketifer HaShalikim, writing of the Apostles, Tetzaveh, Philippians 4, verse 10 to 20. I have greatly rejoiced in our Lord that you have come to be concerned for what is mine, just as you also were concerned, but you were not enabled to express it. Yet I say this, not because I was in need, for I have learned to make that satisfy me which I have. I know how to be humbled, and also know how to abound in everything, and in all things am trained, both in prosperity and in famine, in abundance and in poverty. Because I master all these things by the Messiah who empowers me. However, you have done well in that you have shared with my afflictions. But you, Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I went out from Macedonia, not even one of the assemblies shared with me in an account of receiving and giving, but you only. That also in Thessalonica, once and again you sent me relief. Not that I desire a gift, but I wish fruits may multiply to you. I have now received all, and I abound and am full, and I accept all that you sent to me by Epaphroditus, a sweet aroma and an acceptable sacrifice that pleases Elohim. And may Elohim supply all your necessity according to his riches in the glory of Yeshua the Messiah. But to Elohim, our Father, be glory and honor to the eternity of eternities. Amen.
Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu melech ha'olam, hasher natan lanu Torah emet v'chayim atikenu. Baruch atah Yehovah natan ha'Torah, b'shem Yeshua Mashiachenu, ha'ol la'olam. Amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the Universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen. An awful lot in that. And it'll be interesting to see what Minister Sean has for us today from that reading. So when you're ready.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Okay. Let's pray. Abra and Elohim of our Father, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, we ask, Father God, that you would hand would be upon the drush today, that you would speak to us by your word, Father God. Lord, you would visit us with your instructions, Father God. Father God, that you would hide from us what you don't want us to see and reveal to us what you want us to see. We acknowledge that you are, Father God, the one who grows us. You are the one who cares for us, Father God. We thank you, Father God, and we put our trust in you today and ask that you would be in control at this moment. Amen. Okay. Tetzeva. Shemot 27:20-30:10. Parasha is made up of 5,430 Hebrew letters, 1,412 Hebrew words, 101 verses that can occupy 179 lines in the Torah scroll. Okay. And it's Hebrew for you command. I'm going to play some videos today. This is a really interesting one because this is about, we've just read it. It's about the Mishkan, the operation of the Mishkan, the construction of the Mishkan, the priesthood clothes, and the operation of the priesthood. And it's really, really important because I think this parasha is very significant because Yah is laying down a pattern of understanding. Not just that this is the central spiritual life and relationship between Israel and Yehovah, but this is our central spiritual life in relationship with Yehovah, as we are also a Mishkan. And it also talks about how the Messiah, who is the true and living Mishkan, and there's bits all through it. As we're doing the reading today, I'm going, there's the Messiah. And as you start looking for him, you start to realize he's all over it, because like Yeshua said, if you believe Moses, you believe me, because I'm the one Moshe was talking about. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play two videos now. Could you play the first two videos, please? And I'm going to sit down while we watch it.
Shalom and welcome to Parsha in 60 Seconds. Today's portion is from Exodus 27:20 through 30:10. It is called Tetzava, which means you command. Clear oil was brought to the high priest to light lamps regularly in the tabernacle. Aaron was given a breastpiece called Hoshen, and several other priest accessories. Urim and Thummim stones were used inside the breastpiece of decision. Pomegranates and gold bells were attached to the high priest's clothes to make known exit and entrance. Priests would be ordained by the sacrifice of young bull, two rams, unleavened bread, unleavened cakes with oil mixed in, and unleavened wafers spread with oil. Moses led a bull to the front of the tabernacle and let Aaron and his sons lay their hands upon the bull's head, slaughtered the bull at the entrance of the tent, and put some of the blood on the horns of the altar. Moses took a ram, let Aaron and his sons lay their hands upon the ram's head, slaughtered the ram, and put some of the blood on the ridge of the right ear of Aaron and his sons, also on the thumbs and big toes of the right feet and hands. God promised to meet and speak with Moses and the Israelites there, to abide among the Israelites and to be their God. Moses made an incense altar of acacia wood, overlaid with gold, a.k.a. the golden altar. And that is Tetzava in 60 seconds.
Joshua 1:8, and which starts out with the words, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate in it day and night, so that you might make your way prosperous and have good success." And I remember as a young man when I committed that verse to memory and was encouraged by others to do so, everybody thought the phrase "the book of the law" was just referring to the Bible in general. Nobody ever taught me or told me when it says the book of the law, it's talking about the Torah, specifically the Torah. This Torah, the commandments of the Lord, should not depart from your mouth. You should be constantly thinking about them and how to keep them. And as I've shared with you before, the word keep has to do with this in the Hebrew, is the same definition for keeping a garden. Now, if you're going to keep a garden, why, you're going to plan where the garden's going to be. You're going to decide what seeds you're going to plant. You're going to cultivate the ground. You're going to plant the seeds. You're going to water it. You're going to nurture those young plants. You're going to protect them from the bugs and other creatures from it. And you're going to allow the plants to grow to maturity so that you can consume its fruit that comes from it. Though all of the tasks associated with keeping a garden are all of the tasks associated with keeping the commandments of the Lord. You have to plan. You have to learn the commandments. You have to plan to do them. And they're not spontaneously done. They're deliberately done. They're deliberately kept, and so that you can enjoy the final fruit of that garden, which is good success in your lifetime from keeping the commandments and obeying the Lord. Now, a lot of people think that, well, if I just believe, I'll have good success. That's faith does not produce the blessing, brethren. Faith is counted for righteousness. It leads to salvation. Obedience is what produces the blessing. Keeping the commandments is what produces the blessing. This is why you see unbelievers in the world who have good success, because they accidentally obeyed the Lord, and they get the benefit of the blessing if they obey the Lord. And it's the reason why some Christians will stand up and say they believe in the Messiah, but they'll deny the commandments, and all of a sudden they don't get the blessings. And they're trying to figure out, well, why? I guess I didn't have enough faith, I guess. That's the way they diagnose the problem, and that's the reason why we have unfulfilled blessings for many believers in the faith of the Messiah, because they will not learn these commandments. And they're not difficult to learn. They're simple. They're straightforward. They're wise. And the fact is that a lot of people are keeping them, but they don't acknowledge them, that that's where they come from. So our portion continues on, chapter 28. "Then bring near to yourself Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the sons of Israel to minister as priests to me, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother for glory and for beauty. And you shall speak to all of the skillful persons whom I have endowed with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister as priest to me. And these are the garments which they shall make. a breastpiece and an ephod, and a robe and a tunic, checkered work, a turban and sash, and they shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, and his sons, that he may minister as priest to me. And you shall take the gold and the blue and the purple and the scarlet material and the fine linen. They also shall make the ephod of gold, of blue and purple and scarlet material, and fine twisted linen, and the work of a skillful workman. And it shall have two shoulder pieces joined as two ends, that it may be joined, and skillfully woven band, which is on it, shall be like in its workmanship of the same material, of gold, of blue, of purple, of scarlet material, and fine twisted linen. And you shall take two onyx stones, and engrave on them the names of the sons of Israel, six names, six of their names on the one stone, and the names of the remaining six on the other stone, according to their birth. And as a jeweler engraves a signet, you shall engrave the two stones according to the names of the sons of Israel, and you shall set them in filigree settings of gold, and you shall put the two stones on the shoulder pieces of the ephod, and on stones a memorial for the stone for the sons of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord on his two shoulders for as a memorial, and you shall set filigree settings of gold. Now let me go a little bit further and in the explanation. That's quite wordy that I have given to you. What we're talking about is called the ephod and the breastpiece. And the high priest would wear this, it was kind of square, and it would sit up on his upper chest covering his heart. And it had straps that came over, and the onyx stones were up on the shoulders. There's a gold chain that would be affixed around to the back. And there actually, in this breastplate, there were precious stones on the front. Each one had engraved the names of the sons of Israel, not only up on the shoulders, but in the stones of the setting. And there was a pocket in this where he could reach down in, and there was a pocket behind the stones into it. And inside it carried other stones. I want to read that portion to you, which explains what were the stones that were inside. And it, so shall we go over to verse 30 of this chapter. And you shall put in the breastpiece of judgment the Urim and Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord, and Aaron shall carry the judgment of the sons of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually. Now, I need to give some additional explanation. And by the way, there is some who will argue different points of this, but I will give you the general sense of what we believe this was. Urim, the word actually means light. There was a stone that would become illuminated when it was brought forth. The Thummim, which is a plural, seems to indicate that it could give an answer via the affirmative or the negative, a yes or a no. And essentially when they were used, if you were asking for God's judgment on a particular question, I'll explain that a little bit later, the high priest would pray and say, oh God, give us your answer to this issue. He would reach in and grab the Urim and Thummim, and it would come forth in his hand for everyone to see. Now, if God was giving the answer, in other words, he was, I'm going to answer that question, the Urim would have become illuminated. It would light up so that you would see the stone has light to it. And the Thummim, whether it was indicating yes or no, would then be the answer. If the Urim did not illuminate, then God wasn't answering the question at that time. There was no answer. And so it would be non-answer for it. It, throughout the history of Israel, the Urim and Thummim was used in key times. For example, King David had a question in a battle with the Philistines as to whether or not he should press the battle and pursue the escaping Philistines, or whether she should stop the battle at that point and continue on. He went to the high priest and he said, I have a question for God. I need to know, should I pursue them or not? And the Urim and Thummim were brought forth by the high priest, and the answer was given to to pursue them. And so David went and secured a great victory as a result of that. That's one example of how it was used. Another example that we're told is when the remnant of Judah, those that had been in Babylonian captivity, when they returned back to the land, they'd been gone some 70 years from that time frame, and there was a lot of confusion about the genealogy, particularly of the priesthood. And there was an instruction, as the Torah said, that the priests are not to marry outside of the ranks of Israel. They are to marry only daughters of the sons of Israel. And while they were in Babylon, there were many people who intermarried with different peoples while they were in a foreign land. And so the priests came back, and the instruction was given that the priests were to put away their foreign wives and to take only wives from the children of Israel. But there was a question about, well, who exactly is a priest? Because there was a lot of question with regard to that. And so the Urim and Thummim, each of these prospective priests were brought forward, and they would be affirmed as a priest or not affirmed as a priest. If they were affirmed as a priest, then they took the steps to put away the foreign wives, send them back, and to take new wives for them to restore Israel after the Babylonian captivity. Those are the few examples, but we believe the Urim and Thummim was used regularly throughout the history of Israel. That was part of the work of the high priest. And it could be an individual person who approaches and requests. Could be the king who comes and requests. It could be of national importance. Whatever the case may be, that's what they were given for. And as it said, it says they were for judgment. In other words, not for punishment, judgment, but we're talking about for judgment, to discern and to understand correctly what is it that the Lord would have them to do with it. Can you stop and think about that for a moment? How powerful that would that be? If we had in our nation, we had a Urim and Thummim, and we had somebody that we could go to, we could take every national issue and go in and present it before God and say, God, do you approve of this or not? And can you imagine if we went in and we said, God, do you approve of abortion? And we got a stone that lit up and it said no. Wow, then it would become, the issue wouldn't be abortion anymore. The issue would be, are you going to obey the Lord? And
Exodus 28, verse 1 says, then bring near to you Aaron and your brother and his sons with him, and from among the people of Israel to serve me as priests. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for the glory and for beauty. You shall speak to all of the skillful whom I have filled with the spirit of skill that made they make Aaron's garments to consecrate him for my priesthood. These are the garments that they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a coat, a checkerwork, a turban, a sash, and I shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, and his sons to serve me as Cohen priests. Now, it's one thing to have an encounter with Yah, to have him at the mountaintop, and it's another to have him come and dwell amongst you in the middle of your community. Through the construction of the tabernacle and the Cohen's robes of office and the sacrifices, we see a preparation for the construction and conforming to Yah's divine pattern laid out for us on earth, using earthly things to consecrate and set apart to make holy. First of all, we notice that the consecration process, there are two main parties, the Cohen and Yah. The Kohen are prepared according to Yah's instructions with earthly things, but the final consecration comes from above. There I will meet with my people Israel, and the place will be consecrated by my glory. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. Likewise, I will consecrate Aaron and his sons to serve me in the office of Kohen. So Yah's the one who finally says it. It's the same as righteousness. Righteousness is given from above. We do what Yah says because he gives us instructions to protect his holiness and to protect his way of doing things, to show forth his glory. He gives us that Torah. But the righteousness, the holiness, the consecration, they come directly from Yah. It's a gift given to us from him. Then I will live with the people of Israel and be their God, and they will know that I am Yehovah their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt in order to live with them. I am Yehovah their God. The principle here is that if I want his Shekinah, his holy presence dwelling with me, my life must be conformed to his will and patterns in all areas. It must be separated from the common, from corruption, from decay of this world, from death and separation from the world itself. Remembering that throughout this time Israel had enjoyed Yah's presence with them from the moment they left Egypt to the destruction of Pharaoh to their arrival at the mountain. But Yah wants to establish something more. Yah wants to establish a relationship with his people like he had in Garn Eden, where he walks amongst them and speaks with them. A couple of weeks ago I showed a video about the word of Yah, that the word of Yah in the Tanakh means a physical manifestation of Yah as a human being who comes and speaks with people. Yeah? So when Yochanan says in 1:1, the word of God became flesh and dwelt amongst us, everybody knew that this is the guy who shows up and speaks to people as a man speaking to another man. Yeah? Or a man speaking to a woman. He shows up and speaks bodily. The word of Yah was a manifestation of Yah as a human being. Okay. He walks among them and speaks them, for Yah requires the reinstitution of divine patterns and standard of holiness amongst the people according to his word. Not just communally as part of Israel, but worldwide, as the Mishkan was to be a house of prayer for all nations. I just want to focus on the holy garments of the Kohen Gadol. One of the traditional understandings of the Kohen Gadol's garments is they are obviously a kapara, a covering or an atonement for the Kohen Gadol. As clothing, Yah placed on Adam and Hava after the reconciliation of them, just prior to their eviction from the Garn Eden. Clothing covered their nakedness that prevented them from approaching Yah's holy presence. Everybody remember that? Everybody get that? Good. Each article of the Kohen Gadol's clothing atoned for a separate category of sin. If you want to put the slide up, please, because I've got eight there. Okay, eight garments, eight things. The tunic offers most of the priest's body, atones for killing or taking the life of another human being. The pants atone for sexual transgressions. The turban worn on the head atones for haughtiness. The belt worn around the body, worn over the heart, atones for the sins of the heart, improper thoughts, attitudes. And, the breastplate atones for errors in judgment. The ephod atones for idolatry. The robe atones for evil speech. The high priest's crown atones for arrogance. Secondly, we note that the high priest's clothing has remembered all Israel before Yah. As Kohen Gadol stood before Yah, he represents all Israel and thus bore atonement for all Israel. The clothing represents atonement for the sins of Israel, and as such is a shadow of the office of Messiah before Yah in heaven. That his obedience to Yah's instruction became a covering for all those who trusted in him. Here's the interesting part. Exodus 8, verse 6 says, they are to make him a ritual vest of gold, blue, purple and scarlet yarn. A finely woven linen crafted by skilled artisans. Whew. Now here's an interesting thing, that a lot of his garments we read today are woven. Can you put that back up, please? I'm going to walk over here because I'm going to point to it. Purple scarlet yarn and of finely woven linen. Isn't that interesting? Sorry about that. What's the rule on having clothing woven of two different kinds of material? It's forbidden. You're not to have Chardonnay's clothing. This is a perfect example. Why? Why was the high priest's clothing woven of two different kinds and nobody else was allowed to wear it?
So that no one else would make another garment like that.
That's true. Yep. That's true, but I want to point something out that's really interesting about these two kinds of yarns. So where's yarn come from? Sorry? Animals. And where does linen come from?
Plants.
So Chardonnays is a mixing of plants and animals, right? Now, I got to ask you, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. One of the things, word in English we get animal comes from a Greek word called anima. To animate, to have a soul. Does that make sense? And we know that in the Bible it talks about animals that have the breath of life, or nefesh. So nefesh, your breath of life, obviously comes from where? Who? Yeah, from heaven. So you're talking about a mixing of something that's produced from someone that comes, something that comes from heaven, and something that comes from earth. They've also got mineral in there because they've got gold. And what? Yep.
The high priest also bear the sins of the people.
Bear the sins of the people. Yeah.
The mixture was to remind him that of the mixture that the people often do, mixing the sins of man, or the doctrine of man, the doctrine of
Yah. Yeah. That's right, and there was always a careful, you're not allowed to sow two kinds of seed together. We, as a matter of fact, there's another verse here. Leviticus 19:19 says, should be the next one. You shall keep my statutes, you shall not let your cattle breed with different kinds, you shall not sow your field with two different kinds of seed, you shall not wear a garment of clothing made of two different kinds of material. They're talking about Chardonnays. They're talking about, because in Deuteronomy it very much, when you read it in Exodus you go, oh, what does that mean? And then in Deuteronomy it clarifies it. Animal and plant. So nothing made out of that. Why? Because you've got to keep it separated. You've got to keep holy and pure things of heaven separated from the things of the earth. What is sacred and what is ordinary separated. Does that make sense? Because Yah is a holy God, and in recognition of his holiness with us, we have to keep a separation between what is holy and what is common. And it's the same in our lives. We have to have some things that are sacred and some things that aren't. In our marriage relationships, there are things that are sacred that you don't share with anyone else, and things that aren't. Make sense? We have a coffee together. I can have a coffee with someone else. There's other parts of my relationship I can't have with anyone else, but only my wife here. Yes? Holy, what is set apart, what is holy, and what is for Yah's purposes, and what is not. Does it make sense? Here's the interesting thing. Why is the high priest's robe mixed? Of all the things you were thinking, it would be the most holy, the most pure. Should be all wool, shouldn't it? What is he trying to say?
He's proving his creation.
He's what?
He's proving his creation.
He's proving his creation?
Yes, and breathing life.
That's right.
So, animal, vegetable,
yep.
Plus his
that's right.
Everything
in creation. Can I go one step further and say it's talking about the Messiah? One step further, because we're talking about the clothing being a covering. And is the Messiah Yehovah? Yeah. Was he born in human flesh like we are?
Yeah.
Yep. So Yah has woven the divine in with the things of this earth. So the perfect atonement that covers the Kohen Gadol, who represents all Israel. He wears their names. The covering represents the Messiah's covering. That he is the perfect example of exactly how holiness is to be carried out in this world. And it was not an easy time he was living in. It wasn't all cushions and pillows. Israel was under the domination of an arrogant, racist, disgustingly, abhorrently oppressive regime set up by Romans who literally hated Jews, who crucified Jews en masse, and yet he lived there. He lived in a time when the Kohen, the priesthood who should have loved him and accepted him being his priesthood, rejected him. He had everything working against him as a human serving Yah, but yet he succeeded in his mission. And you know what? The things that came against him were part of that mission. He wove heaven into his life on earth perfectly. He's the perfect example of how it is to be woven together. His ephod has the 12 stones of Israel held there over his heart. You know? He bears Israel before Yehovah. You got something to say? Go for it.
I was also just thinking then about the it prevents us from thinking that his people are one ethnic group or one mix, they're a mixed multitude of everyone.
Yep.
Because when he took them out of Egypt, he took the smart Egyptians as well.
Yep.
So it shows us how Yah can take what is not holy and make it holy.
Right.
By bringing anyone into his kingdom that chooses to be part of it. And that's a reminder in the breast, in the garments of the priest.
Yep.
That he can turn things that are unholy into holy.
That's right.
By bringing them in.
Well, that's what he said in the Psalm of David, didn't he? He will restore my soul. He will restore me back into that righteousness. He grafts people who come to Israel, who come to his people into Israel. You become part of Israel. He supports the 12 stones, the 12 tribes of Israel, and bears them before his father as precious jewels close to his heart. You can't get more picture than that, can you? Hey? You're the apple of my eye. He holds all Israel's precious jewels over his heart. And they are the center of his judgment and what decisions he'll make in earth, there at the forefront of that, right in front of the Unum, I can't even pronounce it properly, Urim and Thummim. He is the center of his decisions on earth. That's what makes the decisions. Does that make sense? Oh my goodness, is he good at drawing pictures, eh? I just want to point something else out to you too. You know, I was always told when I was a kid that the Kohen Gadol had to wear a rope when he went in to the Day of Atonement. Has anyone heard been told that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you had to wear a rope around his thing, and if they stopped hearing the bells, that means that he died because he had sin, and they had to haul him out by the rope. Well, that's absolute rubbish. Because he didn't even wear that when he went in on the Day of Atonement. He wore the same clothing that the other priests wore, the white linen. Because I believe that tells us two things. One, he's going in just humbled as a servant to make atonement. The second thing is because the Holy of Holies is a place, because the whole Mishkan is not only... it's an expression of our relationship with Yah. It is eschatologically an expression of this present world and the world to come. Hebrews talks about it. And that the Holy of Holies, where he enters in once a year, just dressed in his simple priestly clothes, is because when he enters into that world to come, he maintains the role of a priest. Aaron and his family have that role forever. But he's not the high priest anymore, because Yeshua is the high priest in the world to come. So he dresses like the average priest when he goes in and makes that atonement. Isn't that interesting? he takes off those robes in the world to come. And as a matter of fact, Leviticus 16 verse 2 says, "And the Lord said to Moshe, tell Aaron your brother not to come at any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, that is the ark, that he may not die, for I'll appear in a cloud over the mercy seat. But in this way Aaron shall come into the holy place with a bull from the herd for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering, and he shall put on the holy linen coat and shall have linen undergarments on his body, and he shall tie the linen sash around his waist and wear the linen turban. These are the holy garments. He shall bathe his body in water and put them on." So you're just putting on the regular priest's clothes. Sorry?
It's probably natural linen, not bleached linen.
Natural
linen. Natural linen.
Yes.
Which is an off-white colour.
Yep.
But it's not bleached, which is white.
Not bleached. Not bleached.
No,
yeah.
It's probably the colour of your prayer shawl.
Yep. Don't look at my prayer shawl. My prayer shawl needs a renewal, I think.
No, but what I mean is it's probably that colour. It's a natural colour.
It's a natural colour.
Not bleached white.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, Hebrews 9:1 says, "Now the first had regulations for worship in an earthly place of holiness. For a tent was prepared, the first section which had a lampstand, table and bread of the presence, and it's called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a second section called the most holy place, having the golden order of incense and the ark of the covenant covering all sides of gold, which gold urn holding manna and Aaron's staff budded and the tablets of the covenant." Isn't that interesting? At the very core of our heart, at the very centre of our being, of our relationship with Yah, the holiest of holy in our lives, there has to be a copy of the Torah. There's Aaron's staff placed in the container too. That's election. Yah chose to elect him and brought life to death. His rod was dead, been separated a tree for ages, and it bloomed. Yah brought it to life. Isn't that interesting? And Yah put manna, that his holy provision, that he from heaven provided all these things for us. Isn't it interesting? In the holiest of holies of our life, that's got to be at the core. Under his throne, having the golden order of incense. And do you know the golden order of incense? You know, every morning the priest would take the coal. They would lay a lamb. It was the first sacrifice of every morning and the last sacrifice of every evening was a lamb was laid on the altar. That lamb is very important because Yeshua is a lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That olah sacrifice was laid on there every morning and every evening. And it had to be burned up completely. It had to surrender its essence to Yah every day completely. It's a sign and a purpose. And what the priest would take the coals from there, would take it into the altar of incense and lay it on the altar of incense and then put incense on the altar inside so that there was a cloud of incense. How many people here in their morning routine thank Yah for his salvation and then have a prayer time and go and pray? As the altar of incense represents prayer before Yah, it makes that cloud of incense of praise and pray in the morning. I know my family and I, when we stumble out of bed in the morning, and we get together and we read a psalm and we pray together for today. And we just bring Yah into our day from the very start. It's important to do that. This is a practice that was established in the Mishkan. It's an established practice that Yah wants us to have in our lives. That we recognize that morning and that evening time with Yah. Because during the day you're so busy with so many things. But that morning and evening time are important to give them to Yah. And he establishes that pattern. Back to this, sorry. Having the golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant covered in all sides in gold. And it was golden urn holding manna and Aaron's staff and buttered. And the tablets of the covenant. And above it was a cherub. Interesting, gold. Why gold? Someone tell me why gold's important.
Pure.
Pure, yeah. Least reactive metal on earth. Most pure. In Yah's presence, you don't react to what's going on in the world outside you. In Yah's presence, you stay holy and pure regardless of what's happening around you. Yeah? Yah desires us to be like that. This is also a show. It's also a sign of heaven. This place is what heaven's going to be like. It's a touch and a taste of heaven. And I know in my... And you're going out and you're coming in, and I deal with so many people every week. You know what? Sometimes the only taste or the only understanding of what heaven or what God is like is through their contact with you. Do you know that? It's the only time they'll get a taste of that. And sometimes it is so hard when they put you to the test not to react in your humanness, but to react the way Yah wants you to do, in love and kindness and care. I've even had a man pull a knife and hold a knife to my throat and demand his own way. And at that time I quickly prayed and said, "Yah, you still there?" And he gave me a poke and said, "Good." Then I started paying out on his knife and said, "That's not very clean. Don't do that." Yah is a good God. He wants us to be pure and holy and not affected by those around us, but be affected by His holiness, His purity, His everlasting goodness. Above it were the cherubim, their glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot speak in detail. These preparations have... I wish he would have. These preparations have been made. The priests go regularly into the first section, performing their ritual duties, the things you do every day. But into the second, the high priest, that goes but once a year, but not without taking blood, as he offers for himself and the unintentional sins of the people. By this, the Ruach HaKodesh indicates the way to the holy place is not yet opened, as long as the first section is still standing. Hebrews 9:9, which is symbolic for the present age, according to his arrangement of gifts and sacrifices that are offering, that cannot be perfect the conscience of the worshipper. As Hebrew puts it, the Holy of Holies represents the world to come. All the outer garments of the Kohen Gadol carry, representing the tribes of Israel, is taken off in order to enter into the Holy of Holies. Okay? So he's indicating when we move into the world to come, new deal. Because Yeshua said, "My Torah will not pass away until heaven and earth pass away." So new heaven and new earth. New. Everything's renewed. Okay. Hebrews 8:1. Here the whole point of what we've been saying is we do have just such a Kohen Gadol as has been described, and he does sit at the right hand of Hagura in heaven. And there he serves in the holy place, that is, the true tent of meeting, the one erected not by human beings, but by Yehovah. Incidentally, just a note, just for your information, you know where at the beginning of the parasha it says about the olive oil, that the olive oil is to be beaten out, squeezed out. Well, there's a tradition with the olive oil being squeezed out. There are three or four times it's squeezed. First squeeze gets the oil for the lamp, for the light. The second squeeze, used in cooking, to pour on the altar for the food offerings and the grain offerings. The third oil is to use to make soap. So there is light, illumination, understanding, provision for sustenance, food and what we need, and for cleansing, all in that one statement about olive oil. A little tiny olive, yeah. I got Tamar's making a sign on me. Amen. Could you play the third video, please?
Welcome to another episode of Parasha Points, short thoughts from the weekly Torah portion. This week's parasha point comes from Tetzaveh, which is Hebrew for "you command," and it goes from Exodus 27:20 to Exodus 30:10. This Torah portion contains God's instructions for bringing olive oil for the temple menorah, making holy garments for the priests, the priestly ordination ceremony, and the altar of incense. There's a lot we can talk about in this Torah portion. Today, we're going to talk about the beauty of the tabernacle. Exodus 28:2. "And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty." The tabernacle, and later the temple, was designed to be otherworldly, connecting our earthly realm to the heavenly realm. Everything from the precious metals used to build the altar, to the fine fabrics used for the priestly garments, to even the pure oil used for the menorah, the splendor of it all was intended to give us a glimpse of a transcendent, sublime beauty beyond our natural world. The precise measurements of the tabernacle, the detailed instructions for all the furnishings, orderly ceremonies, everything pointing toward a sense of perfection. In the midst of our chaotic existence filled with sin and death and heartache, there is a hint of a better world. True beauty in this world, such as that pictured in the tabernacle, draws out a yearning in our hearts for something deeper, something pure, a type of connection we can't fully experience in our present reality. Ultimately, the tabernacle was a microcosm of the world to come, wherein God's divine presence will fill the whole earth, when we experience the love and joy and wholeness we were created for. While there is no tabernacle or functioning priesthood in Jerusalem today, we can still catch glimpses of the world to come. These glimpses happen when we encounter true beauty and allow ourselves to take it in. A sunset on the beach, beautiful works of art, a brilliant musical composition, a meaningful conversation or moment with a loved one. We were created for more than the earthly drudgery of life. We were created for more than the shallow comforts given to us by our phones, jobs, and mindless entertainment. Beauty reminds us of that. Open yourself up to experiencing moments of true beauty. Allow your heart to be drawn toward the pure goodness and truth that exists beyond this world. One day, we will be able to experience the fullness of God's beauty. Until then, turn off your phone and go watch a sunset, take a walk in the forest, or make your children laugh. Thank you for joining us for another Parasha Point.
Amen. Does anyone have any questions? Huh? Okay. I'll move into the Yeshua Remembrance Service. Here the days are coming, says Jehovah, will I make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they, for their part, violated my covenant, even though I, for my part, was a husband to them, says Jehovah. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Jehovah. I will put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people.
I am confident and unafraid, for Yehovah Elohim is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Then you will joyfully draw water from the springs of salvation. Victory comes from Yehovah. May your blessing rest on your people. Yehovah Sabaot is with us, our fortress, the Elohim of Yaakov.
Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu melech ha'olam. Hamatz lechem min ha'aretz.
You, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the universe, who has brought forth bread from the earth. Yehovah Sabaot, how happy is anyone who trusts in you. Give victory, Yehovah. Let the King answer us the day we call. I would take the cup of redemption and call upon the name Yehovah.
The cup of deliverance I raise in the name of Yehovah Yeshua HaMashiach. I call Baruch Atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Borei Pri Hagafen.
Blessed are you, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine.
Baruch Atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Borei Mini Besamin.
Blessed are you, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the universe, who creates the various spices.
Okay. Please, if those would come and take the spices and the bread and the wine out and distribute it. Could we have... Oh, thank you. Is everybody right? Everybody got their challah and their wine? Okay. Let's pray. Abba and Elohim of our fathers, we thank you, Father God, for what you've done for us. That Yeshua was absolutely obedient, Father God, that he dwelt, Father God, without special privileges, Father God. Lord, that he went through some of the worst and most difficult times in history for Israel. Father God, we thank you, Father God, that you showed your glory, Father God, through your Son, Yeshua. Lord God, even though he was wrapped, Lord God, in just ordinary earthly covering, Father God, that we all have, we thank you, Father God, that you came and dwelt amongst us, that you put your name in him, Father God, that he was you here on earth, Father God. Lord, you said, he said, Father and I are one, Father God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Father God, we know, Father God, your heart is always towards us. Father God, you showed us a picture of it today with the Kohen Gadol, Father God, and how he wore Israel as precious stones over his heart. And we know that's your heart towards us. And we thank you, Father God, that your decisions on us, Father God, are based on that. And we thank you, Father God, that you laid down your life, Father God, in obedience, because all Israel could not, did not. And we thank you, Father God, that you love us and you've called us to your purposes. And through your obedience, we've been made. Father God, we've had atonement made for us to draw us into your kingdom again and in walk according to your ways again. We bless your name, Father God, as we eat and drink, and thank you, Father God, for your blessing over us. In Yeshua's name, amen. To make an offering today, we've got an offering box at the back and the FPOS machine at the back if you want to make an offering. Obviously this place doesn't run itself and it does need financial support, and we're also supporting the orphans in Myanmar. I'll get the pronunciation right. It was such a blessing that we were able to give so much. It was wonderful. I'd like to invite Tamara Malachi to come out and speak Yah's name over us in blessing, that his presence would dwell with us in the weeks to come. Amen.
Hi. Could the ministry team come out the front, please? I'd like to pray for a few people. Ellie Shaver, would you like to come down first? And then I'd like to pray for Vanessa and for... I'd like to pray for Shab. Could the ministry team, please?
Miss Rachel, I should say.
Abba Father, we thank you and praise you. We just wish long life on Ellie Shaver, and we pray, Abba Father, that you will heal her, that you'll heal all things that have been in her past and anything that's to come in the future. Abba, we pray for peace,
the peace that surpasses all understanding, knowing that she is in your perfect kingdom, that she is in the perfect place where you want her to be at the moment, and she's also, Abba Father, in your perfect will. And we just lift her up to you and we ask for shalom to just pass right through her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. And may, especially this week, as the family sit Shiva, that you'll be with her. That you'll be with her and that she will shine like a light shining in the wilderness. That no one will be able to take the light of Yeshua out of her, regardless of what her Jewish heritage says or does. Abba, we just give her to you and we ask you to continually to keep her lifted up in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. It's fine, darling. It's fine. Okay. Okay, my pleasure. Shab. Do you want the mic on or off? Is there anyone else that needs prayer before we go? Anyone else that wants prayer? Daryl, do you need prayer? Pardon?
You should do it later.
Pardon?
You should do it later. Okay.
Yeah. I had the mic turned off for just for their own. Okay. Are you ready?
Yevareka ka, Yehovah Yishmareka. Ya'er Yehovah panavaleka v'yichneka. Yisa Yehovah panavaleka v'yasam leka shalom.
May Yehovah bless you and keep you. May Yehovah lift up his face towards you and may he give you peace in Yeshua's name. Amen. Our Abba and Elohim of our fathers, we thank you for the joy and rest which we are enjoying this Shabbat day. May the coming week bring gladness and peace, health and achievement. And like the fragrance of the Besamim, we pray the days ahead bring sweetness to our lives and the lives of our loved ones. May the peace which we are enjoying this day linger until we gather for Shabbat next week. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sean. Another good one.
Amazing how it tagged onto mine from last week. It was really good.
Yeah, and I was thinking in terms, you're sort of seeing the Messiah and all sorts of things. I was even thinking in regard to Aaron's rod, which was dead and used as driven into the ground literally at different times. And then it was... In the dark place, like a tomb, came back to life, came out, bore fruit, bore ripe, I mean, blossoms budding and then ripe fruit. So just amazing. Now, last week I said that I was going to try out the use of the Vax Control Group's system where you register, and this is an international company. I think they're based in
UK.
In Europe or the UK. So I did, and I went into the restaurant and I showed my phone, pulled that out, which I said I was exempt. That's sort of a good starting point. And then I put that up, if you can see it. Yes, it sort of shows up on the camera. But that was the card that it's really the photograph of my first application to join that organisation, and they put that on screen and I simply took a screen capture of it. I thought, I'm not going to pay for any of it until I know that it works. And I'm becoming very pleased with the way how well it works. So I was able to say to the lady at this is on Thursday night, that I was exempt and I'm in part of a trial. And then I flicked across from that particular one. If I can bring it back up, it's the web. Oh, the Queensland government's website, where it says that a person can go into, even up as a Schedule 1 level, they can go in and remain as long as they're part of a COVID vaccination trial, which is exactly what the Vax Control Group is. And I read those couple of sections out from the Act to her. That was she didn't even bother scanning the QR code or getting that. That was fine. So but by presenting them with the live version of the actual information on the government website, and we are totally legitimately entitled, because all vaccine control trial groups and the ones that are the control groups, they're all volunteers. In fact, everyone that's getting the vax is volunteering for an experiment. So there must be a control group to compare, and that's made up of volunteers, and it's worldwide. So it's a very compelling argument that's not a problem from there, from what we can see. So go for it. And we know
of other people that have used it in doctor's offices as well as other restaurants and things. So yeah.
So when I was trying to find that, I was trying to about how do I know what that group was called, and I was doing a search on vaccine control and control group and that sort of thing, and I realised all they've done is that they've abbreviated vaccine to vax, so it's simply vaxcontrolgroup.com.
vaxcontrolgroup, all one word, .com.
And then you put in your information, you provide your current health conditions, if there's any problems, if you've been in contact with people, any of that sort of thing, that goes down as part of your record. And then once a month you update that. Have you encountered anyone? Have you been with someone that could get it? Are you having difficulties at work? Are you taking zinc and vitamin C and vitamin D and hydroxychloroquine or any of those, so that any other things? And that, so we're providing the control group information, and it's totally squeaky clean, legitimate, and I suppose if one had any further difficulties, you could ask the people to put it in writing so you can provide it to the solicitor, which is one other suggestion that I'd heard, that if you're going to be discriminated against based on...
They ask in the questionnaire if you're being discriminated against in your work. It's one of the questions in it. Now, we do have some bread left over, so if anyone wants to take some bread, please feel free to do so.
Yes. And isn't it, I tell you what is it, how good and wonderful it is when brethren dwell together in unity. And praise God that we come together like this. It's been a very joyous occasion. And just praise Yah.
And don't forget Thursday, ladies.
Okay, bless you all. Shavuot Tov. And we'll see you next week.